everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love to connect with you. Unfortunately, due to the coronavirus outbreak, we aren't meeting in person right now, but there are still a lot of ways to connect with our community. On Sunday mornings, you can worship with us online through our YouTube channel at 10 a.m. or join us for a special family ministry live stream worship over on our Facebook page at 10:30. We are at Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Our pastors are here to support you and connect you with our community so that you will remember, even during this time of social distancing, that you are not alone. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
The first scripture reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verses 1 through 6, using the Message translation. When the people realized that Moses was taking forever in coming down off the mountain, they rallied around Aaron and said, "Do something, make gods who will lead us." "That Moses, the man who got us out of Egypt, who knows what has happened to him?" So Aaron told them, "Take the gold rings from the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them to me." They all did it. They removed the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from their hands and cast it in the form of a calf, shaping it with an engraving tool. The people responded with enthusiasm, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought us up from Egypt." Aaron, taking in the situation, built an altar before the calf. He then announced, "Tomorrow is a feast day to God." Early the next morning, the people got up and brought whole burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. The people sat down to eat and drink and began to party. It turned into a wild party.
Well, if you've been tracking with us as we've been tracking with the Israelites through the wilderness, you might have started to notice a bit of a pattern that arises between these different stories that we've been telling of the Israelites in the wilderness. And the pattern goes a little something like this. God reminds the people of Israel of God's promise. And then there's this time of waiting. And in that time of waiting, the Israelites, they get into trouble because the Israelites are very bad at waiting. And then Moses has to come in and smooth over the relationship between God and the people of Israel. And then God reminds the people of Israel of God's promise. And that same pattern, we see it in our story for today. We find both a cautionary tale here in how the Israelites are living in the wilderness, and we get an example from Moses and the way he leads in the wilderness. For a little bit of context, before the story that we heard earlier, Moses was called up to the top of the mountain to meet with God. And Moses was getting instruction from God on how the community would live together. And Moses had been gone a while. The Israelites, they were left down at the base of the mountain. They were left with Moses' brother Aaron. And they got sick of waiting. Now, to be fair, this isn't like when you go to the grocery store and you come back and your dog acts like you've been gone for years. Moses had been gone for a while. Moses had been gone for 40 days and 40 nights. And as some of us in quarantine know, 40 days and 40 nights is quite a long time. So the Israelites, they felt like they had waited long enough. And honestly, they thought Moses probably died up on the top of that mountain. They didn't think Moses was ever coming back. So they thought they needed a new plan. And so they go to Aaron and they say that they need a God they can follow. They need a God that will lead them. The Israelites, you see, they were desperate for something tangible, something they could put their hands on, a physical sign of hope. Now I know we're at the part of the story where the Israelites are going to mess up. I know they're at the part of the story where they're about to get in trouble. And we're not really supposed to be rooting for them, I don't think. But isn't what they're doing, isn't it understandable? Isn't it completely understandable that after being in the wilderness for so long that they would want a sign of hope, a physical in the flesh sign when they feel like their leader has abandoned them. I think that makes a lot of sense. And it moved Aaron too. Aaron saw the desire on their face, and so he said, okay, bring me all your gold jewelry. And Aaron melted it down, and he made this image of a golden calf. And that image of the golden calf was what the Israelites needed for that night. Idolatry, that's what's happening here. That's what happens when you make an image of a god and then you worship it. That's what's happening here. And idolatry in the Bible is a very big deal. God takes it very seriously. Because when the people of God would seek after and seek out these false gods and these false images, it always led them astray. It always made them less faithful to God. And in the end, they never got what they really needed or what they were really looking for. And we do this too. It's maybe even more dangerous when we do it because, unlike the Israelites that asked for their image to be created, we don't often realize the idols that we're building in our life and worshiping until it's too late. Until we realize that they weren't actually the source of security and certainty that we thought they were. We can make idols out of anything. We're really good at it. We make idols out of the important jobs we do, or how nice our house is, or what zip code it's in, or how big our 401ks are, or how good our report cards are. We idolize the roles we play in other people's lives, the devoted mother, the successful father, the good kid, the best friend. The stories that we tell ourselves about who we are and the life that we're living. These stories can be so powerful, we can trust them so much that they can overpower any trust that we've put in God. The cautionary tale that we get from the Israelites in the wilderness is that when we lose sense of security and certainty, we'll grab at anything for a sense of control, even if it means writing God out of our stories. And that's what the Israelites tried to do in the wilderness. They tried to write God out of their story, or rather, they tried to rewrite their story. When Aaron made that golden calf and they all saw it, they cheered and shouted around it and they said, "Here, O Israel, these are your gods that brought you out of Egypt." The people of Israel, their whole relationship with God was built on this promise. I will be your God, and you will be my people. And when they shouted and cheered and celebrated and gave sacrifices to that golden calf, that idol, it was like they were saying that that promise never meant anything to them. The story in Exodus 32, it continues. We get to see this scene of God and Moses having a conversation up on the top of the mountain about what's going on down at the bottom of the mountain. And God is so mad. God is so mad at the people for what they've done. He's so offended. He's ready to write them out of the story too. God is ready to walk away from the promise too. But then Moses intervenes. And Moses reminds God of the bigger story. Moses reminds God that you didn't bring these people out of slavery in Egypt to let them die in the desert. And I know they made a big mistake, but don't take your anger out on them. Remember the promise. Remember the promise you made to their ancestors, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember the promise. Remember the bigger story. What Moses was able to do was bring God and the people back together by reminding them of the bigger story. the central truth about who they were. Moses held God accountable to the promise God made. And then Moses would go back down the mountain and hold the people accountable to that promise too. What Moses was able to do for the Israelites is what I think we can do for each other. And here's what I mean. A lot of us have been reflecting on our priorities lately. And maybe some of us are realizing the idols that we've built in our own lives. Maybe we're starting to ask some really hard questions. Questions like, who am I without this job? And will they love me if I can't take care of them? And how smart am I really without those grades? Some of us are starting to realize the idols that we've built up in our own lives and asking those messy and tough questions. And when that happens, we need somebody to remind us of the bigger story. We can't do that on our own. We need somebody else to remind us of the bigger story. And that's what Moses did for the Israelites, and I think that's what we're called to do for each other. One of the reasons why I love the church and have always loved the church, no matter how messy life gets, is because the church has exposed some of my false idols. False idols like being seen as perfect or having it all together or being in control. The church has exposed some of my false gods and reminded me of the only God worth trusting. I think that's what our community has to offer each other and to offer you too. Our church is here with you and for you in the wrestling of uncertainty, but our church is also here to remind you of the bigger story, your central truth and mine, that we belong to God and we are a part of God's bigger story. And God's bigger story isn't finished yet.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.